Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Glenn Greenidge coming to you live from the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And welcome back. We had a wonderful, powerful show last weekend, and we've got Jill on the line, and we've got Henrietta, hostess with the Moses, and I think Jerry's out there too. Jerry, so
yep.
All the hosts, welcome to the call.
Hello.
Hey,
everybody.
Well, without any further ado, we have some real wonderful show lined up for you tonight. And let me start with the declaration, and then we'll come back and take a look at some of the things that are happening around the planet for 2012 in the International Black Summit world. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, March 25th, 2012, above, below, within, north, south, east, west. A moment of silence, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jill, any announcements for us?
Yes, thank you, Glenn. I hope everyone out there is having a wonderful evening. Today, actually, there was a summit share, and for those of you that do not know what a share is like an information session. It gives you a little bit of an experience of what the summit is all about. On March 31st, there is a prerequisite course in New York, and also on April 28th, there's a prerequisite course, June 2nd, a prerequisite course, and then, of course, in August, from August 2nd until August 5th, we have the 22nd Annual International Black Summit event in Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. You can find out about what's going on in your community at www.blacksummit.org. Thanks, Glenn. Back to you.
Great. Well, I'm actually going to turn it over to Henrietta and let her run with the show and invite her guests. Don't forget, listeners, we are going to Alabama, and I'm going to refer to it as Bama. We're going down to Birmingham. I had a buddy that went to school, that I went to school with in New Hampshire, and he was from Alabama. And we used to call him Bama, and he loved it. That was his nickname. He said, "Just call me Bama."
Okay.
And so we're going there this August, and it's the heart of the civil rights movement. You know, it's also, you know, for me, I just want to say that for me, the significance of it is that we have the opportunity to put our first African American president back in office,
And so the significance of going to Birmingham this year is an emotional one as well as a historical one for myself. So I just wanted to put that in and let you all know. You can get that information at the website, www.blacksummit.org. So go check out the website, and you can. It's a social website, so you can register yourself and have your picture up and communicate with some of the other folks around the country. So please do that. With that, let me turn it over to Henrietta Bird and our marvelous guest tonight. Take it away, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn, and thanks to you. Tonight is a really, really special night. You know, this is March and 2012, and we're celebrating Women's Awareness Month. And so we're celebrating women on the show with, we're featuring really, really, really great women in our community. The ones you don't hear about, the ones that might not make the news or get the accolades that everybody else might get, but there are powerful women in our community. So our guest tonight fits just really well into that category. But because of, before we bring her on, we want to just take a moment and do a segment that we're going to do for the next month. And we want to do this segment, and you know Jerry is our segment person, so we're going to ask Jerry if he would bring us the information about something that's very, very dear to our community. So Jerry, would you give us your report, please?
Good afternoon to everybody in the world, plus the Summit family. Again, this is Jerry Thomas. Maybe y'all never heard, there's a brother named in our community in Sanford, Florida, named Trayvon Martin. He was fatally shot, and he was unarmed by a man named George Zimmerman. Again, it was February 26th, and it spawned nationwide all over the world and plus of this country. And what happened was that he was walking through a gated community at his town against Sanford, Florida, where Zimmerman was a neighbor watch volunteer. The fiancée of Martin's father lived at the complex, and Martin had returned home after buying, it was candy, but it was Skittles and a drink at nearby convenience store. And it was a knock. He called 911 operator after he shot the fatal, again, I'm going to say unarmed black teenager, had a hoodie on. Before that, he was following him. He was on his way home. After he was on his way, meet his girlfriend, after he come from the convenience store. So when while Zimmerman was calling, the 911, when he called 911, he asked the 911 operator, could I follow him? And they said, no. What happened, he never listened to him. He followed him. And what happened was a scuffle, and he shot him. And what happened was the police came on where the shooting happened. They didn't arrest the man, George Zimmerman. They said it was self-defense. Until right now, was it no arrest happened. And now, the police commissioner temporarily dismissed himself. So now the family had asked the police commissioner to dismiss himself permanently. But now that is pending. He said that he leaves temporarily because he do not want him dominate the case. So after that, then again, after all this uproar, the country outlaw and the world outlaw, there's a lot of people, especially in our community around this country, has wear a hoodie of the memories of him. Our Sharpton had Kane to Sanford, Florida, and also there's other black leaders had Kane. And even Jesse Jackson had made a reply about that it's dangerous to be black in this country, has never has changed. Now, again, George Zimmerman now say that he gets death threats. And that is debatable now because they checking that on it. But he's free, and again, there is an outlaw. And also now, President Obama had, if anyone ever heard, President Obama a few days ago had put the light on this case and asked the FBI to check the to see how the case is, because the police department up Sanford, Florida, has moved very slow. They still say that it was self-defense. So, now, sooner or later, the FBI is probably coming into the picture, most likely in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But before the NAACP has showed up, a lot of news reporters has asked the question, why hasn't any arrest has happened? Even the parents of Trayvon Martin has asked that question, why it hasn't been arrested. Again, brothers and sisters, the young man was unarmed. He was not a gangbanger. He was not causing trouble. He is a brother that went to school in good standards in the school and good standards in the community. And we have to think about it. And also even the ones that maybe could cause trouble, you don't have no right to shoot anybody. But, you know, enough for my personal day, but us as a community, we have to advocate for our young people. We have to advocate to make sure to give this family some support, because this is going to be a nationwide spread in our community. And we have to keep the pulse on this situation, because by me doing this report, I just found that almost every state and city around this country is said it's wrong. Where's the arrest at?
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to do is going to be, there's anything you want to say, Henrietta?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, how old was Trayvon?
Oh, Trayvon was 17 years old.
Okay.
Can I jump in here for a second,
sure.
Jerry?
No problem.
I just want to, if you're a listener out there and you're under the age of 35 and you're outraged by this, please go talk to someone in your family who's a little older who can let you know what's been going on over the years, because this is not an isolated incident. This is again, we need to know our history and need to understand what has been occurring, and people need to understand and know that this is not a blip in the screen. This is a common day occurrence. It's just been tabled a little differently recently. So go talk to somebody in your family, your neighbors, your grandparents, and let them give you the insight of what is really happening in this conversation. Back to you, Jerry.
And it'll also go more on Glenn's point. Family, I urge, I don't care if you're a single mother, I don't care if you're a single father, or you have both parents, or even you live with your grandparents, sit down with your kids and talk to them about the situation. Because the situation, like my brother Glenn said, is not an isolated incident. This has been going on, and I'm going on 46 years old, and I'm letting you, and I know people personally have been through this situation even when I was growing up. Even before I was born. And it's very important to sit down with our kids, like my brother Glenn is saying, and talk to them. You know, let's do this peacefully, let's do this right, but it should be an outrage, and it should be enough is enough. And before I'm going to say, moments of silence, is there anything you want to say, my sister Henrietta?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
Okay. And I'm going to say one last thing, then we're going to do a moment of silence, please. By throughout April, I'm going to bring continued reports about Trayvon Martin, but I know one thing that we got to do a moment of silence, please, that through, 2 days ago, Al Sharpton's mother has passed, but he was down in Sanford, Florida, to represent for the family because he said that's what his mother wanted him to do. So, again, throughout the month of April, I'll be bringing reports about, so stay tuned. And again, let's advocate for our community. It's very important. For Trayvon Martin and Al Sharpton, mother, moments of silence, please. Thank you very much. Back at you, Henrietta.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much. And our love goes out to from the International Black Summit to Al Sharpton and his family, as well as Trayvon Martin's family. And like Jerry said, we will throughout the month keep you abreast of what's going on. With this, another experience that we're having. So let's get to our guest tonight. Her name is Miss Cherise A. Scott, and she's the founder of an organization called Sister Reach. And I know Cherise Scott from a totally different part of life. Just checking in to see if her mic is on, Glenn.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, thanks. I know Cherise didn't know all of this about Cherise until about 3 days ago, actually. I know Cherise to be one of the most phenomenal singers that I've ever heard, and she was in the city of Chicago, just recently moved to Memphis, and is doing a wonderful, wonderful work around women. And because, again, this is Women's Awareness Month, we wanted to bring on people who are doing just a magnificent work, and the work that she's doing is in support of women. So I won't take any more of her time, but I would just say, Cherise, welcome. And you are on with Jerry, Jill, Glenn, and myself, Henrietta. So good evening to you.
Good evening.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit, just a little bit about who Cherise is? Just Cherise the person.
Well, Cherise the person is a mother. I am an advocate for women and girls. I am a Christian. I am a singer. I guess I'm a poet and an actress. I'm really happy to be here with you all this evening.
Well, we're happy to have you. We had a short, well, I don't even know if I'll call it short, but a moment with Therese this morning, and everybody was just kind of blown away. So, Therese, tell us about Sister Reach.
Sure. Well, Sister Reach is a grassroots organization focused on empowering and immobilizing women and girls in the community around their reproductive and sexual health to make informed decisions about themselves, therefore to become advocates for themselves. So our goal is to support women and girls to lead healthy lives, have healthy families, and live in healthy communities by offering fundamental education about their sexual and reproductive health. Hello? Did I miss anybody? I'm sorry. I want to make sure I'm still on.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened to Henrietta.
Okay. It's okay. But I opened Sister Reach in October of last year after I moved to Memphis in June, and was looking for somewhere to continue to do the work that I was doing in Chicago within reproductive justice, and have had an awesome opportunity to work with advocates here, medical providers here, folks in academia, and was trying to figure out still how to do reproductive justice, though, more specifically, and had an opportunity to work with Choices Memphis Center for Reproductive Health under the direction of Rebecca Terrell, and she has a wonderful staff there who welcomed me with open arms, and it has been a wonderful journey thus far. However, with the insistence of my mom and my grandmother to go ahead and continue doing the work that they knew was more specific to my heart, I opened Sister Reach. And so far, so good. We've been doing pretty good.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to visit your facility the other day, and it's like it's rich with possibility. You know, that's what I saw. It's like you know what's going to take place in every part of the space. You know, and it was just wonderful, really wonderful experience. Just stepping into the possibility with you, you know, in the International Black Summit, possibility is throughout our declaration as well as just self-generation, you know. So I'm just watching you bring forth the declaration in Memphis, and it's real interesting. When I looked at the information that you gave me the other day, one of the things it says is that we believe that a woman is most empowered when she has access to all information regarding her health and well-being. Mm-hmm. So access to all information regarding her health and well-being. What are some of the things, Therese, that normally women don't have access to? You know, like what made you write that statement?
Well, I wrote that statement with an understanding from women of color. There is an assumption that Black women and brown women, that women of color in general have access to all of the information regarding our reproductive and sexual health, and that's actually misinformation. We don't have the access, even in 2012, where, you know, we have the internet, we have social media, we have television and radio. No one is necessarily going to our neighborhoods and in our communities and really trying to educate, organize, or mobilize us in any type of way regarding our bodies, especially Black women, especially Latina women, There's a disconnect there, and yet we have policy and legislation happening right now that continues to try to remove our rights, to take away our control over our bodies. And so that's what you stated. It comes out of one of our pieces of our organizational pledge. So, you know, understanding that women don't have, and especially low-income women, which includes many women, all women, at this point in economics and where we are in our country, we do not have access to all of the information about our bodies. When we're talking about very basic reproductive health education, like a woman understanding her fertility, young people understanding what are the risks associated with having sex. You know, we have young people who believe that douching, for example, can wash sperm out of their vagina after having unprotected sex, which is also misinformation, or and then just douching itself, something that is, especially for Black women, is more of a kind of generational medical fix, if you will, something that's been passed down through the women, through grandmother and mother and auntie. Just for basic vaginal hygiene, still misinformation. So we have all of these pieces that reproductive justice is trying to attend to try to bring awareness and bring education so that women and girls all over the world understand their bodies, and also trying to do that through policy as well, to try to push legislation and craft legislation and team with allies who are point and leading in legislation and crafting legislation around our reproductive health. So that's, you know, that was the kind of motivation for that statement. We don't have all of the information that folks think that we have, especially folks in government. They think that we have all of the understanding. They think that folks understand and have not just the information, but kind of the revelation behind what all of that means. You know, just because a condom is available in my neighborhood doesn't mean that it's not locked up if I live in a low-income neighborhood. You know, those types of things. And if I'm a young person, does that mean that I can access a condom, or I could access a female condom or a dental dam without bias and stigma being placed on me because I'm a minor? Those types of things that are not quite being addressed. By the same token, you have folks trying to take away our rights to birth control and things of that nature. So that, you know, that was the motivation behind writing that piece to our organizational pledge.
Sharice, okay, like you mentioned earlier about, or you brought out that point just now about, you know, having to go through the humiliation of asking someone to unlock, unlock a cabinet to get a condom or whatever it is that a person might choose to use. Like, what are some of the other things, like, when you said, I'm still on this question about having complete access. What are some of the things that we don't have access to that other nationalities might?
We don't have access, again, to the information. We don't necessarily have direct access to our legislators. You know, folks, it's very easy to say, hey, you can go and talk to your local alderman, or you can write a letter to your legislator. But then what does that necessarily mean for a woman who, you know, is just trying to figure out her normal day-to-day, especially a Black woman? If a Black woman is trying to figure out, especially single mothers like myself, I'm a single parent, when you're trying to figure out how to feed your baby and clothe your baby and make sure that your baby is going to a proper school, like the last thing that you're really thinking about is going to speak to your legislator about your issues, you know. And even if that was to make some, you know, that would make a tremendous impact. But within the Black community, Black women are some of the hardest pieces of the kind of overall constituency to organize, because we have so many demands. You know, if you are a single parent, then you might not necessarily be able to take off work to go and join with the folks, with Sister Reach, if you will, to go and talk to your legislator. It's not so easy. We don't have that particular type of access. or even the understanding that it's okay to, you know, to fight for our own rights in that particular point of view. So that's what I mean by, like, not having access to proper medical care, or or even understanding the fact that we have a long history of Black people about trusting the medical profession. So, you know, it's a lot to be said about what access could mean for a woman, a Black woman or a Black girl. It's something very interesting, you know, to highlight of why is it that a woman doesn't necessarily feel that she has the type of power or feels empowered to advocate on behalf of her own self. So, you know, I'm not under some type of cloud or something to believe that even when it comes down to me, you know, before I even started working in reproductive justice, I just didn't get it. I didn't understand. I didn't know about emergency contraception, and I didn't know about dental dams. I didn't know about female condoms. They were just very simple things. I didn't know how to chart my menstrual cycle. I just didn't understand certain pieces. And then when we go, you know, we take it up to, you know, our education system, our young people in many states, including Tennessee, are only being offered abstinence-only education. Well, to me, that's a very irresponsible way of trying to give reproductive health education if you don't include all of the information to make sure that that child understands everything about their body, so that when they want to make a choice, if they choose to make a choice to have sex, then they are prepared. They know all of the information. They can make an informed decision. They're not just out here having sex willy-nilly. You know, and then taking it a step further and talking about self-esteem. What does self-esteem look like in the Black community? What does empowerment look like in the Black community? What does the village really look like? And who is necessarily taking care of the village? It is not necessarily the folks who are trying to take away our rights. The folks trying to take away rights around reproductive health are not working in the village, do not live in the village, are not trying to make sure that beyond a very small amount that is offered through food stamps or very basic things that are offered through dental and vision and medical care, still do not allow us to have total access to all of the information. If a woman who is low income, she may not have ever even heard what a doula is or what a midwife can do, or know that she could have her child at home and that really be medically sound with the being properly staffed. Those types of things. A teen mother, what type of hurdles is she going to have to encounter by being a teen mom? Is she facing homelessness if she has a baby? Is she facing poverty because she's having a child before she's had an opportunity to get her full education? I mean, there's so many different hurdles and obstacles and situations that can lead to not having access to, you know, what folks have coined as the American dream. That's very vague coming from through Black eyes. That's very vague. So, you know, that's one of the things that Sister Reach is trying to do. We're trying to empower women. We're trying to empower girls. We're trying to, you know, even if it's, hey, you look really nice today, sister, you might not get a compliment every day. Your day might consist of what, you know, you giving out but never receiving anything. And so we're just trying to do something positive here in Memphis, and we've had great support in trying to do what we're trying to do thus far.
Right. I had a great opportunity the other day to go with Sharice to speak to a group of young ladies after school, and it was just the most powerful experience to watch. You know, you talk to these girls and not hesitate on anything that you were saying. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that, you know, sex education is sex education is sex education, but this was different. You know, this was ask me some questions. Is there anything you don't understand about what I'm saying? And the girls were free to ask questions and were very attentive in the class, you know, and could give back a lot of the information that they had gotten from you, on your previous visit. So let me ask the question: if one of those young ladies told you they wanted to speak with you, you know, like in private, and they ask you if they told you that their boyfriend was asking about sex, or they were interested. He didn't even have to be asking. Maybe they just something they wanted to do. What would kind of be the way that you handled it?
Well, I think that the best thing, especially when talking to young people, is to listen to young people. That's one thing that everybody, I feel, is missing the mark. Even as a parent, sometimes I have to train myself to stop, slow down, and listen to what it is that my son wants to say to me. We have to learn how to just allow them an opportunity to speak. It doesn't have to be they don't have to use all these wonderful, grand words. Just let them be who they are and let them speak and just say whatever it is that they need to say. But in a situation like that, that would be the first thing that I would do. I would, I would ask her just certain things about herself, like, how do you feel about having sex? Are you comfortable with this person? Do you know, do you guys have a healthy relationship? Do you know what a healthy relationship looks like? Is it you being called out of your name, or, does he say nice things to you? Is he complimentary? What is it that he does for you? What is it that he gives to you? These types of things. Our young people aren't getting what we think they're getting. They're getting the television. They're getting videos. They're getting a lot of television shows with sexual connotations to them, but they're not really seeing really healthy relationships in front of them. So I would really start there. And then, if she said that she was considering having sex, the next thing that we cannot do is to automatically out the gate start to judge young people. We need to allow them an opportunity because sex is very natural. it's a very natural thing. It's a beautiful thing. Like I tell my girls, I say, hey, y'all, sex is the bomb. It's wonderful. As long as you understand that there's no need to engage in it if you're not ready. And so what my job is to help make you ready. So, if there was a situation like that, I would just see if that young woman was really ready to make the type of choice that she was about to make, not even dealing with what he wanted, but just really making sure that she knew where she was, because when it's all said and done, we can't be everywhere at all times. When my son leaves me, I have to believe that whatever I've done as a parent to train him, that he is putting that thing into action once he is out in society. And that's the same thing for our teenagers and young people who are having sex. It's very important, parents, to start having conversations, real conversations with your kids about sexual relations, because if not, then you allow other young people to educate them. And unfortunately, they're not getting the right information. They're not getting the healthiest or the safest information. For a young woman to think that douching could wash sperm away, and that, because of that, or a shower and a bath could wash away sperm, only lets me further know that she hasn't gotten the right type of information that she needed to make an informed decision about understanding what douching could actually be doing, not just the fact that she could be, pushing sperm further up into her vaginal canal, but that she also is harming her vagina by even douching at all. Those types of things. So we need to start talking to our young people. And if we don't know all of the information as parents, that's okay. There are folks like Sister Reach, there's the CDC, there's your neighborhood clinic, there's your doctor, there's your OB/GYN. There are folks who you can get information from, just basic things that you can share with your son or daughter to make sure that they have the right type of information. Do they know how to use a condom? A lot of times for young people especially young women that I educate who are pregnant and they're trying to figure out what the next move is, a lot of times, I'll say, well, were you using protection? And they'll say, well, yeah, we were using protection, but the condom broke. And I'm like, well, do you know how to use the condom? And I'm asking this of a young girl because we assume that just because condoms exist that everybody knows how to use them, and that's not the truth. So I want to make sure, so I'll do a demonstration with her to make sure that she understands how to use the condom before she leaves talking to me. So that, I can't control whether or not she's going to have sex when she leaves. But when she does have sex, she can say, hey, let me make sure that you got that condom on right, or let me make sure that the condom isn't expired, or, you know, let's make sure that you rolled it down properly, that you got it on the right side, like those types of things. So, mm-hmm. you know, those are the types of things that we need to start talking about. And, again, those seem very basic and very, you know, fundamental, but those are the pieces that are missing, and those are the things that young people aren't getting. Or understanding that just because you try to have sex without the condom and just have a little withdrawal in the beginning, then you want to put the condom on because you want the full sensation of the sexual experience. Well, not only have you opened yourself up to a possible pregnancy, understanding that sperm can live in semen, but you've also opened yourself up to sexually transmitted infections now. Now you've had body-to-body, genital-to-genital contact with someone who may or may not be infected with something. So, you know, pregnancy isn't the worst thing that could happen to us. Having a baby is not the worst thing that can happen to us, but not being able to cure AIDS and you contracted AIDS can be the worst thing for someone. So we just need to start having real conversation with our young people. We need to start having real conversation in married couples and seniors. We need to start having real conversation with college students and, you know, grown folks, you know, just people, period. Women need to start having conversations. They were saying the teenager didn't know, more than likely her mom might not know, or her dad might not know, her guardian, whomever the person is in her life gives her information and training may not have the information. So this is something that is an American problem. This is a world problem. This is a my problem and a you problem. This is everybody's issue. And AIDS won't be cured until we're talking about sex, for real. AIDS won't be cured until we're talking about sex. So, you know, we need to start having this conversation. We need to be responsible to ourselves, to our young people, to our communities, to our neighborhoods. We got to do it. We have to do it. So it's imperative. Otherwise, we'll never be able to end things like herpes and contracting herpes or contracting HIV, contracting syphilis, contracting trichomoniasis, those types of things. We won't be able to slow down the numbers for sure in unintended pregnancies, not just with teenagers, just people, women, period. I talk to women of all ages from, you know, the beginning of their reproductive lives to the end of their reproductive lives. We're talking about, you know, menstruation through menopause. We're talking about everybody. Everybody needs to be given all of the information, and it's just not happening.
This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and our guest tonight is Ms. Charisse Scott from Sister Reach, the organization committed to empowering women and in support of reproductive justice. Let me check in to see if there's anyone online who might have a question for Charisse. If you do, push the number one button on your phone and it'll raise your hand and we'll be able to see it. And while we're checking there, let me ask Jill or Jerry or Glenn if you have any questions or comments for Charisse.
We still have two people with their hands up.
Yeah, I'll wait for them to make their comment.
Okay, go ahead, Glenn.
Okay. Erica 301-346, I believe this is Keisha. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hello. Wow, what a great conversation. Women talking about sex. Great. And women saying that women should be talking to their daughter about sex. It's great. I have a daughter. My oldest child is my daughter. And so having this conversation was very important and powerful for me. But before I make my other comment, just to give a reach out to young women, because that's what I'm really getting from this, you guys talk today, is you're really reaching out to young women. So I want to let young women know they can go to mylifecompass.com/Chekesha, C-H-E-K-E-S like Sam, H-A. And there you can sign up for a journaling session where you have free journal, you can journal, you also get to do some self-esteem. You listen to some tapes about self-esteem because that's what what I was hearing the sister share is like when you feel good about yourself, when you're feeling empowered, then you can speak up. You can have a voice. You can say, hey, if you're not using a condom, we're not having sex. Now, you might have be having sex with somebody, but you won't be with me. Like when women can step up and say that, as girls and women. And also, I could just hear you guys pointing to the distinction of a clearing. Clearing being an open space that's empty and you declare what will be in it. So this whole thing about and parents knowing that maybe you can't make all the meetings, maybe you can't find out everything. There's actually laws that will allow you to leave work and still get paid for it. You know, I know as a school teacher, sometimes parents would say, well, I can't come because my job won't let me off. And there's literally a law, an educational law on the book that says you can leave work for school business. So I'm just saying we just have to continue to empower ourselves and be the clearing for our daughters. Be the clearing. I know for me, I had to step up and be the clearing against religion. Like to quit saying to my daughter, well, religion says this, religion says that. I had to be the clearing of you're pregnant. What do you want to do? How do you want to handle your life? I'm your support. Instead of telling her what religion says, sometimes you got to be that religion in terms of your clearing. So just thank you, sister, for what you're doing. And I just wanted to point to the distinction of the International Black Summit of clearing. And we're being a clearing in this moment in this discussion. So, sister, teach on women talking about having sex.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jakaysha. Is there anyone else with their hand up, Gwen?
Yeah, there's one more caller. Let me bring them on.
Okay.
804-305, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot, James calling out of Virginia. Great conversation, women having sex. I'm going to tap over to the young men, fathers talking to men, also open dialogue. But I wanted to add to the sister, letting her know there's a lot of access and information that's out there in your arena for what you do. If it's not Mississippi, which I'm mistaken, there are other states and organizations that have chapters and organizations and funds that are set aside. The government has grants. You have your local school system, your health care department, your school board meetings, your PTA meetings, your superintendent's meetings that are all locally in your community that offer this education. You have your teachers. You have your anatomy classes. You have academies that have been developed by young women such as yourself to start developing chapters where you've already started because the information that you have acquired, if you can't have total access, there are a lot of accesses out there, but also there's other people in other states and other organizations. And also remember, there's government funds that are set aside for African-American women to open up businesses to educate us on the educational and the health care association for grants and funds. So the access is there. It's just a matter of learning to practice and strategize the language and knowing how to speak the language in order to get what you need. Out here for you, you just have to keep your drive, keep your desire, and don't give up. But always remember that control the lane and the arena that you're already in. You're in the arena already, and realize a lot of African American families, especially moms and dads, came up with a non-solid foundation. So you have 85% of Americans who parents didn't talk about this. Scared to talk about sex, don't understand how their bodies operate, but you have doctors and hospitals and community centers and workshops that are out there to help educate us if we would research and go to research them and then have a hunger and desire to learn. I work with a lot of communities, work with a lot of jails, work with a lot of city council, a lot of superintendents. The information is there. But get with people who have a passion like you do, continue to get with those people who are further along than you, share with them so you all can collaborate and control and dominate and secure the arenas for those children and adults people mm-hmm. need to really know who they are and what their bodies are made of. You have a lot of people who are old and 70, 80, and 60, they don't even know what their anatomies are structured as. So if you have a child or have a daughter, go talk to their teacher. Make them be accountable. Ask them what they're doing. How do they understand what they're teaching? If that don't work, go to the administrative staff, go to the principal, and go through each chain. And I guarantee you through the chains, there will be somebody that God will set up to give you what you need to go to the next level. Because it's ignorance and illiteracy is what's causing us to be taken advantage of, and people take advantage of us, especially our culture. So what I'm saying, it's out there. Go get it. And this time when you do this, ask for clear strategic planning and special insight. Because before God was there, there was also truth. And truth is out there for you, and hope and desire is out there for you too. Just keep it going. Don't give up. Stay humble. Listen more. Talk less. And there's a big window out there for you for the world. Keep up the good work, all righty?
Thank you.
God bless.
Is that it, Glenn, for...
Yes, it is.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you to both of the callers. Also, Charisse, would you give us your website and your mm-hmm. or email address or how people who might be interested in contributing to Sister Reach or, you know, who may have, you know, any kind of information they want to forward to you?
Absolutely. Our website is www.sisterreach, that's SisterReach.org. Again, that's www.sisterreach.org. And that's we are also on Facebook and Twitter, both under Sister Reach. And if you go to our website, right on that first welcome page, there is an opportunity for you to contribute. Currently, we are doing our 12-12-12 campaign, which will be running all year, where people have an opportunity to give to our organization with a very minimal cost of $12 a month, or they can give $12 a month and send that same commitment out to 12 friends who they believe would also stand in solidarity with them to support this work and give their $12. They can give $144 a year, which is an annual contribution. We just tried to make it as small as we could because we understand that folks are struggling. And if you're here in Memphis and you want to give 12 hours of volunteer service, we would be more than happy to have you here. We definitely need educators. We need folks to help with communications and marketing to help us get our message and our vision out there in the community even more. So if you would like, again, to contribute to Sister Reach, you can go to www.sisterreach.org, or you can email us at info or contact us at sisterreach.org, and someone will respond to you. Any information or resources, we are a very young organization, and though we've been trying to connect and network here within the city, we can use all the help that we can get. So I would appreciate it. Sure, definitely. And then you can email me directly at Charisse@sisterreach.org, and the spelling of my name is Cherisse. Again, that's Cherisse. At sisterreach.org.
Okay, thanks, Charisse. Let me go back to Gio, because Gio had a question, and then we're going to come back to you, Charisse,
mm-hmm.
because I know you've written a poem, and I'm hoping that you'll sing something for us before you get off. But let me go to Gio, because Gio had a question or a comment.
Well, actually, I just want to just commend you. You're doing wonderful work, and I really appreciate you spreading the word. Information is power. And actually, we have 5 minutes left, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted you to recite your poem and possibly sing. So I'll give it back to Henrietta.
No, just skip over me and go straight to Sheree.
Well, that's great. Well, the poem that I've written. It's called Billboard Babylon, and as Reverend Henrietta said earlier on in the broadcast, I used to live in Chicago and for 12 years before I moved down here to Memphis, and one of the things that I am a part of that I was part of then when I was with Black Women for Reproductive Justice out of Chicago, led by Tony Von Leonard. We are a part of a national partnership of women from many different organizations, regions, and religious backgrounds developed in 2010 out of Atlanta called Trust Black Women. And that collaborative was formed out of the abortion billboard campaign that, or anti-abortion billboard campaign that right-wing conservative folks got going back in 2010, basically to target Black women and call us murderers for abortion. And I know that we didn't necessarily really skim over that particular piece at all. So I can send it to you guys to put up if you don't want to go there at this point, or you know, I can recite it. That's fine. And yes, Henrietta, I will most definitely send you a little piece of something.
Okay, so hold on. Let me just say thank you to the people who are listening via the internet, because they will be cut off in about 3 minutes. But if you're on the telephone, you can hang on and you'll be able to hear. We apologize if you get cut off if you're listening via the internet. Thank you for listening to us, and this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and our guest tonight is Sharice Scott from Sister Reach. Okay, Sharice.
So the poem is pretty long, so I probably should do that at another time, and I'm always open to be on here with you all, and I really appreciate you, Henrietta, Jerry, Jill, and Glenn, for having me on. What I will do, though, since Henrietta wants to hear some music, and for those who like what they hear, can go to www.rstgi.com/Sharice Scott to support a girl in her music efforts. I got 2 CDs out, Soul Journey and Moans, and both target the lives of what a woman can be going through in love and life. But what I'll give you a little bit of is a song off of my second CD called Pretty Girl, from my CD called Soul Journey. So and I'll do just the hook, I guess. We got a small portion. So it says, who makes the rules on what beauty is to me or you? External sin, no peace within, you're in a man. Who broke the mold and gave you hope 'cause of your skin? You're a pretty girl with or without them. Recognize the prize you possess inside is deeper than what lies on the outside of you. Recognize the prize you possess inside is deeper than what lies on the outside of you. Yeah. Who makes the rules on what beauty is to me or you? External sin, no peace within your inner man. And gave you hope 'cause of your skin. You're a pretty girl with or without them. Yeah. There y'all go.
All right.
All right.
Thank you all so much. I have time.
Thank you so much. And please come back. And and keep us up to date on what's going on. I know you're going to, you know, for those people who might want to hear Sharice in person, she's going to speak at the Unite Against the War of Women rally in Nashville. April 28th. It's on a Saturday, 3 to 6 p.m. So you can hear her there. That's the Unite Against the War on Women, April 28th,
2012 in Nashville, Tennessee, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And I thank you so much. Please come back. We got to hear the poem. You know, we got we have to put it so everybody can hear it, because we have a lot of people who come back and listen to the show at different times. So,
okay.
You know, if you would just come back and give us the poem so we can share
sure.
with the work, we would really appreciate that. Anything mm-hmm. else, anybody?
Peace out. Go ahead, brother.
Great show. Great
yeah.
show. Thank you so much. It was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you all.
Yeah.
Keep it up, my sister. We all
no
behind
problem.
You.
Thank you. I will. I will. I'm trying my best, y'all. Send a prayer up for a girl. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Glenn?
Peace and love. Great show. Sharice, thank you for your contribution, my dear.
Thank you. No problem.
All right.
Just let us
love
know
you.
How to can and do anything for you all. Just let us know. We're here.
Okay.
All
yeah.
right.
No problem.
Right. And just a reminder, the International Black Summit annual event is in Birmingham, Alabama, August 2nd through the 5th, 2012, at the Doubletree Hotel, downtown Birmingham. And go to blacksummit.org if you want to listen to this show again, and click on Talk Show, and you can hear this show and any previous show, or go to blogtalkradio.com and look and search International Black Summit. So thank you very much. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. Thanks, Sharice.
Thank you. All right, good night.
Peace.